Open in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. We'll begin there. We'll be moving around to several places in the scriptures. We're going to begin with Deuteronomy 18. And start looking at verse 15 to 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 and following. Here now, God's holy and inspired word. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see his great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, that is Moses, the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and how it is your voice to us, speaking to us, leading us and instructing us. We pray now, Lord, in this time as we consider your word, that you would teach us about you and about who you are and about how you have set Christ to be our great prophet. And we pray, Lord, that we would be assured of our salvation and of our knowledge of him through your word. So we pray now that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake and that you would edify and bless your people for the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, there are many ways in which we speak about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many titles that we give him. He's called Savior, called Redeemer, Messiah. He's called Christ, all terms for the Anointed One. He's the Great Shepherd of the Sheep, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God. But there are three titles in particular that we use to sum up the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we continue on looking at the Westminster Shorter Catechism, we've come to question 23. And you can look at these questions and answers in your bulletin or in the card if you're memorizing them with us, the card that you received today. Question 23 asks, what offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? And the answer that's given is, Christ as our Redeemer executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. And over the next three Lord's days in which we look at these catechism questions, we'll consider each one of these offices in turn. And this week, we're going to look at Christ's office as a prophet. And that begins in question 24. How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. And the point I hope you get this afternoon from this question and answer is the fact that you can be assured of your salvation by hearing Christ's voice in the word. Be assured of your salvation by hearing Christ's voice in the word. In the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through prophets. One of the first things the catechism assumes is that there is such a role or office of a prophet. How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? And it's good in doing so. It's right in assuming the office of a prophet. We just read Deuteronomy 18:18, speaking of a prophet. But we can also turn back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'd like you to turn back there and see Deuteronomy chapter 5. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, to see this role and position of prophet displayed really for the first time in Scripture, an explanation of it. Chapter 5, verse 1. Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, or Mount Sinai. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. Now, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. So in verses 1 through 5, we have Moses reflecting back for the people of Israel what happened when they first heard the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai and Horeb. And Moses points out to them that he was one who stood between God and the people. He was a mediator between God and the people. As chapter 5 goes on, the people were so terrified of the voice of God that they begged Moses to stand between them and God. They couldn't stand to hear his voice. They were so terrified and fearful of God's voice. They wanted someone to communicate that voice to them instead. And so that's what a prophet does. Someone who speaks on behalf of God. When most people think of a prophet, generally they think of someone who has prophetic visions of the future. So they're going to foretell the future. And prophets did do this in the Old Testament, but that wasn't their primary role. Their primary role wasn't to tell us about what's going to happen in the future, but their primary role was just to communicate God's will to God's people. And so while they did exercise in a certain amount of foretelling, their main role was that of forthtelling, just communicating God's will to God's people. And we kind of have a picture of this during medieval times. A king in a kingdom wants to communicate a decree to all the people in his land. And so what he would do is he would get a member of his court and send him into each town in his kingdom. And that person would stand in the town square and be a town crier and read the decree, call out the king's decree so all the people could hear what the king wanted them to hear. And so in that sense, that town crier was a prophet of the king. In a similar way, this is the role of a preacher or of a pastor. He's an individual chosen by God to communicate God's will to his people. Now, this doesn't mean that he receives new revelation from God. Pastor Andy talked about this morning. We're not receiving new revelation from the Lord to communicate to you. That's not what I'm trying to say. But we do take what God has communicated to us and explain and communicate that to you. And so, in a way, the role of a pastor or preacher is a prophetic role. But Moses, as one of the first prophets, communicated God's truth to the people. And so, too, did many of the prophets down through Israel's history. Until God sent a very special prophet. You see, Christ has come to speak as the ultimate prophet of God to God's people. And you can see this explanation in Hebrews chapter 1. So please turn to Hebrews chapter 1, the other end of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And so, but we learn here that Christ now exercises that the ultimate role of a prophet. And that's what the catechism is picking up on, this teaching of Scripture. Christ now executes that office of a prophet. God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. This was God's plan all along. Deuteronomy 18 again. I'm going to raise up for you people someone like Moses from among your brethren. He's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ to be that ultimate prophet, the one everyone should obey. I'm going to put my words in his mouth, and he's going to teach you all that I want you to be commanded. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of these words spoken by Moses. He's come as the final authoritative word of God, the ultimate prophet. This time God did not have to speak through others to declare his will, but God himself took on flesh to declare his will to his people. We have a full revelation coming in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's doesn't mean the older prophets were of less of importance. Their words weren't less important. But now we have a fuller revelation come from the Son of God himself. Imagine what it would be if a king, instead of sending just some mere servant in his court, decided to send his own son to speak to the people in his kingdom. He speaks with even greater authority. He speaks with a greater understanding and insight into what the mind of his father has for the people. He has an intimate relationship with his father so he can more clearly understand what his father desires for his people. That's what happened when Jesus came. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son of the Father has declared him. We read that in John chapter 1. Jesus comes into the world and explains the mind of God for God's people. The Father tells him everything. Jesus didn't speak anything but what the Father told him. We read that in John 12, 50. We also see that he is God himself. I am the Father, are one. John 10, 30. So since therefore God himself has come and delivered the full and final message regarding his own will, we don't need to look anywhere else or expect any additional revelation to come from God. So continued prophecy or additional words from God claimed by some are erroneous and false. What can be said that's greater than the very words of God that he's already spoken by himself through his Son? All that's needed for life and godliness are found in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in case you're thinking, well, then what about the apostles? And didn't they teach additional things after the Lord Jesus Christ? If Christ is the final authoritative prophet, nothing else needs to be said. What about the apostles? I want you to think about what Jesus says to his apostles in John chapter 14, verse 26. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." And so the apostles aren't making up anything new. They're not receiving additional revelation from God other than what is communicated to them by Jesus Christ himself. And so they're taking what they've learned from Jesus. They're being reminded about what they've learned from Jesus from the Holy Spirit and are now communicating that truth to God's people. And the Apostle Paul had a direct relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him and taught him what he wanted to be taught to the churches. And so this is why the apostolic writings are the words of Christ spoken by the Spirit. That's why the churches recognize that the New Testament scriptures could only be those with apostolic authority. Therefore, any supposed revelation of God outside the scriptures is void. God only speaks in one place, and that is in his word, the Holy Bible. So, to whom has Christ revealed himself? So Christ is the prophet. Christ speaks through his word. He's the ultimate prophet. But to whom has the prophet spoken? Well, you can look again at that Hebrews text. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us. So now Christ speaks to us. He speaks to you by his word. And the writer says God has spoken to us. The us is referring to the church. Once again, the catechism is picking up on that language and revealing to us, the catechism says. So it's God's desire to communicate his will to all of his children, not just to certain special individuals. But God's word is for everyone in the church. It's to be read by everyone. It's to be understood by everyone. And he's ordained certain men to write it down throughout history. That's what the catechism means by saying it was revealed to us by his word. He set apart the prophets of old and the apostles to write down his words. These men were inspired directly by God himself, and everything that they wrote are the words of God. Paul says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so the Bible is a direct word from God given to you to show you how you can glorify him and enjoy him forever. And these words of Christ are spoken to people of all generations, of all ages. And so if you wanted to communicate something to your great, 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 great grandchild, how would you go about doing it? Would you just tell your son or daughter to tell that message to their son or daughter and to tell that message to their son or daughter? Would that be a very trustworthy means of communicating a message? Like that child game of playing telephone, you might be concerned that the phrase here would be changed or the message here would be tweaked just a little bit or forgotten or lost. And most likely, you'd want to write it down. So you would have that word preserved to be passed down from generation to generation. This is what God has done with his word. He's seen fit to ordain that men would write down his word for the better preservation of his word throughout time and history. And so the Bible is God's written word directly to you. Just like that message that you would send to your great, 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 great grandchild would be your message for that one. God's word is your message for you. As Christ is God who speaks in the Bible directly to you. You don't need anything else to know what God desires for you or what his will is for you. Some people claim they need the Pope in Rome to tell them what God's will is for their lives. Others say they need the Book of Mormon or the Watchtower Society of the Jehovah's Witness to tell them what they need to do in their lives. Or other religious books like the Quran or fortune tellers even, or even popular books like Jesus Calling. We don't need these books, these additional supposed revelations from God. But we have God's word written down for us. You don't need these other things. You have the very words of Jesus Christ spoken to you in the Bible. Praise God, he's given you such a blessing to hold and to read and to cherish and study all the days of your life. What a blessing we have. Sadly, however, there are many who don't recognize that blessing. There are many who don't understand or believe God's word in Scripture. And we could ask ourselves the question, why is that the case? Why don't they believe God's word written down that they have right before them? Well, Scripture teaches us, and the Catechism once again goes on to pick up what Scripture teaches. Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit. And so you see, Christ speaks to us by his spirit as well. The Catechism is pointing out an important teaching of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So once again, turn in your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Looking at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Paul gives us the reason why many don't understand or believe what the Scriptures teach. Paul says, "These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so because you are born again, you can understand the words of Scripture. But those who do not have the Spirit of God cannot understand the words written by the Spirit of God. It's almost like Paul saying here that the natural man, the spiritless man, the unbelieving man speaks English. And it's as if he's saying the Bible is written in Spanish. And you might be able to pick out some of the characters. You'd recognize all of the letters. You might be able to recognize some of the words and begin to make a little bit of sense out of what's being said. But you can't comprehend the message. You can't get the point of what's being communicated. It's not making sense. And not until you come to learn Spanish can you understand something written in Spanish and all of its nuances, all of its meanings. You need to know the language of the text. Christ speaks to you by his word and spirit. Look at what he says in verse 12 of that passage. "For those of you who have believed in Christ, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." And so because you are born again, you can understand the words of Christ spoken to you in his word. As you read the Bible, the Spirit helps you understand and make sense of what God is trying to communicate to you. This is what's called the doctrine of illumination. The Spirit illumines, he sheds light on the word of God so that you can see it clearly and you can understand it clearly. the Word of God is teaching you concerning His will. And so what is God's will for you then? What is the Spirit trying to teach you about Christ's words? What is He trying to communicate? I'll listen to the answer to the catechism question one more time. Christ executeth the office of a prophet and revealing to us by His word and Spirit the will of God for our salvation. So Christ speaks concerning God's will for your salvation. Listen to what the Gospel of John says, chapter 20, verse 31. John says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in His name." So the purpose for which Christ speaks to you in the Bible is to show you the path of salvation, because it was God's desire to bring you into a relationship with Himself. How did God do this? Well, at some time in your life, you heard the Word of God communicated to you in the Gospel. Either you read the Word of God, you heard the Word of God preached, a parent or someone else communicated to you the Gospel from the Word of God, and you were saved. You became one of Christ's own. God's will for your salvation. But God's will is not simply a one-time salvation event. God's plan is a salvation process. The process of salvation is carried out during the entire event of your life, your entire life. But the moment you were saved, you were justified. You were saved from the penalty of your sin. Your sins were forgiven. You were declared righteous in God's sight. You were saved. Scripture teaches that to you. It declares that to you. But from that point forward, you're still being saved. You're still being sanctified. You're being saved from the power of sin in your life, becoming more and more like the person God has declared you to be, more and more like the one who has saved you, righteous and holy, more and more like Christ. This is part of the salvation process. Many of you have planted gardens over the summertime. Perhaps some of you are planting, you've planted a garden down here at the community garden. And maybe like us, you've planted corn. After you put the kernel of corn in the ground, a miraculous thing in my mind happens. It begins to grow. It's incredible. You can put a seed in the ground and all of a sudden it just starts to grow. But then this piece of thick grass looks like it starts to grow out of the ground. And if you have young children like we do, they come down and look at that piece of thick grass growing out of the ground and say, "Daddy, what's that? Is that grass?" "No, it's corn." "Oh, okay." And you explain to them how you can eat it later on. It's going to taste really good with butter and salt and stuff like that. Then you come back several weeks later, maybe a month later, and you walk down and look at the same spot and you see something completely different. It's no longer just a thick piece of grass. It's only about that tall, but now it's a larger plant. It doesn't look like a little piece of grass anymore. It has a big stalk and branches coming off of it. That little voice starts to talk again. "Daddy, what's that?" "Oh, that's corn." "But I thought the other stuff was corn. What's this?" "Well, that's corn." "Well, that's corn too?" "Yeah, that's corn. It's just more like it's supposed to be now. It's corn, but it's still corn, but it's just grown up now. It's bigger, it's bigger, it's better, it's the way it's supposed to be." This is the way salvation is. Corn is corn. It's always in the process of being corn and becoming more like it's supposed to be. Now you're saved, and you're always in the process of being saved and becoming more like you're supposed to be. And this is what the will of God is for you, that you get saved, and then you become more and more like the one who saved you. You grow in your salvation. Listen to 2 Timothy 3 again, verses 15 through 17. Paul tells Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so the Scriptures make you wise for salvation. They tell you about Jesus, and you get saved. But then, they also work to make you more complete. They work to sanctify you, to cause you to grow, that the man of God may be complete, Paul says. Declare God's will for your salvation in the beginning, in the middle, and ultimately in the end, in glory. And so what the Catechism's trying to tell you through this question and answer is that you can grow in and be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Christ in the Word. Christ is the ultimate prophet speaking to you in the Bible, and it teaches about the gospel, that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to earn salvation for sinners like you and me. A salvation which He has accomplished through His life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And the promise is that if you repent from your sin and believe in Him, you will have everlasting life and joy and glory with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. And it's the voice of Christ in the Scriptures after you are saved as well that leads and guides you into greater conformity to Christ Himself. This is why the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word of God, is so important. It's God's means of grace for building you up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. So know that when you come and open God's Word or hear it preached, it's the very Word of God, the words of Christ speaking to you, teaching you how to live and declaring who you are and whose you are. You are a child of God. You're saved through the work of Jesus Christ, and you will grow up to a full salvation in Christ by listening to His voice as you read and hear the Word of God. And so as you read it, as you listen to it, hear the voice of Jesus, your shepherd, calling you as His sheep. Hear the voice of your shepherd who says to you, "He who believes in the Son will have everlasting life." Hear the voice of your shepherd in the Word of God who says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Hear the voice of Jesus, your shepherd, saying to you, "No one will snatch you out of my hand." Hear the voice of your shepherd in the Word calling to you and telling you that nothing will separate you from His love. Hear the voice of your shepherd calling to you in the Word who tells you that the God of peace will sanctify you completely, and your whole spirit, soul, and body will be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Find rest and assurance in the Word that you are who Christ says you are. You are saved as Christ says you are, because it's Christ Himself who says it in His Word, your prophet. How then doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executeth the office of a prophet in declaring to you by His Word and Spirit the will of God for your salvation. Be assured of your salvation by listening to the voice of your Savior in the Word, Jesus Christ, your prophet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You.